secondary
heroes.
Secondary short.
Honey, where's my super suit?
No, it's a cardigan, but thanks for noticing.
Killer boots, man.
Dodson, Dodson, we've got Dodson here.
Get it right or pay the price.
Great Scott!
Pizza Dude's got 30 seconds.
Give the audience a quid.
The pleasure's all on this side of the table, trust me.
Well, excuse me, princess.
Yeah, we can even be on TV. We'll be heroes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Secondary Heroes Podcast. It's a continuation of our special edition series, Talking Mandalorian Season 2. It's time to talk Episode 2, The Passenger. This is your host, Trevor, and joining me as usual is...
Hey, guys, it's Prague.
And it's me, DeLorean Wolfgang.
Awesome.
Awesome, guys. How are you guys?
It's chilly here in California, but yes. And it was also chilly in The Mandalorian this week.
Oh, I'm cold, too. Oh,
so you know.
Oh, that's true. They did get quite cold in there.
Yeah, they actually visited
surprised
a new
that
planet.
He didn't hug the lizard lady, because isn't she... Well, she's cold-blooded, so never mind.
Yeah, more like a frog.
We'll get there.
But we'll get there. No jumping around. We'll go in order this time.
Well, but hold on. But why don't we do our... What's our overview of the... What did we all think about this episode?
This is before we get all spoilery. So this is our spoiler-free review of the episode. What do we got?
But yeah, let's just keep in mind for everybody listening that this is filled with spoilers.
Yes. And remember, this is just Star Wars. Have fun.
Oh, wow. I don't know.
Who's going to go first?
Not it.
I'll go first. I went last week.
Okay.
So for me, this felt like a continuation of the first episode, and... It looks like we're on this whole chain of Monster of the Week stuff. So excited.
I wouldn't even call it a Monster of the Week. I would have called this Side Quest of the Week, because all this was a total side quest.
But that's this entire season. He's going to get a little bit of information. It's going to come piecemeal, and he has to do stupid side things until the season's over. Until we get to episode 5 that Dave Filoni wrote, and then we'll actually have some interesting stuff. But until then, best of luck.
Yeah.
Prague.
Yeah, that's pretty much my take. It felt like a smaller version of last week, just a Monster of the Week side quest episode. I was pretty bored.
It wasn't even a good Monster of the Week. At least the crate dragon was pretty awesome.
You know, I will say this though, if you stayed for the after credits, like the designs were far better than what were in the show. Mm-hmm. So that's weird. I don't know why they didn't keep that design. That was actually pretty cool. If they had done that, it probably would have been a little bit better, maybe, for me, overall. But, yeah, I guess we can start from the beginning, then. And
well, I didn't get to do mine.
Oh, I thought you did. That was part of yours.
I thought you did, too.
By all means.
Oh, okay. Well, it's totally a side quest episode. But all in all, I mean, it was still a fun episode. I guess I'm expecting more. I keep expecting more. I don't know. I just feel like with the season one, every episode was almost like this next big reveal of something else. And then it became, and then this season, it just seems like, okay, well, it's not big reveals. I mean, Boba Fett reveal was not even that big. It was like, I need that armor. Oh, well, I'll give you the armor if you kill this dragon type of thing. You know, I don't know. It just seemed a little ho-hum, but it was still fun. I don't know.
I feel like season one, they wrote the entire season. And season two, it feels like Disney came in and said, we need to drag this show out for as many possible seasons as possible. That's what this season feels like.
Well, and that was one of the questions that I was going to ask you guys around the end, but I might as well ask it now, is how many seasons do you foresee Mandalorian going on for?
Oh, as many as they can milk now.
Yeah, they're going to milk it for all it's worth, is my guess.
Yeah, because we're not going to get the Cassian Andor show for a while, and the Obi-Wan show has been delayed. So they're going to have one Star Wars. They're not doing, like, I don't know when the next sequel trilogy, whatever it's going to be, Rian Johnson's our new thing. I have no idea. So this is pretty much Star Wars for the foreseeable future.
So you, So you guys really don't think that it will, well, I mean, eventually it's going to become stale. It's going to become...
You would think that, but Star Wars has been around for a long time. People love
this. This is the greatest thing ever created. Oh my God, they made a big spider from Harry Potter and they put it in Hoth. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
And that's fine. I mean, if that's what your Star Wars is, you know, God bless you. Have fun with that. That's fine. Fine by me. I didn't hate the episode. It was just kind of like, I was on my phone the whole time. And then the episode was over. I'm like, what happened? I'm like, did I miss it? Did I miss something? Was there a reveal I missed? I looked up and it was like credits. I'm like, oh, okay.
I ended up, well, because it was so short. Good. Yeah. God, it was like, that's, it was 33 minutes long.
Out of nowhere. Yeah.
If I wasn't taking notes, I would have been a lot more not into it. Like, I'm literally looking at the scenes and looking at things to talk about for a podcast.
As yeah, just it's like a you passive really have to, fan. Like, look, like, well, yeah. Did I see something I missed? Some clue, some, like, you know, deep cut?
I actually put the episode on again today. So I watched it on Saturday morning, and I put it on again today, right before we hit record here, because it was kind of a forgettable episode.
I watched the last 15 minutes again just before we recorded, and I rolled my eyes so many times the second watch through.
So I know that you guys are, well, you know what? We'll get to the monster when we get to the monster. Do you guys want to get into it then?
Yeah, sure. So everyone listening, we're now going to spoil this, even though technically we already did. We talked about the spider monster and the lizard friend and everything, but whatever, regardless.
Yeah.
Hopefully you've seen it already.
It's been out for a while. I think you're fine.
So we want to start with the opening rope crash scene?
Sure.
Well, I mean, that is at the beginning, right?
No, I know. It's just like, it just didn't happen.
That was before
the
credits roll or before the title card.
Yes.
I will say that was the best part of this entire episode.
Sadly, I think it might have been just because I loved seeing that thing crash.
Shout out to Open.
Shout out to Open.
Open. I remember putting it on Saturday and thinking, yes. Oh, yes. This is what we're going to have this episode. All right. All in. Let's do this. And then it just kind of fizzled after that point. But I mean, right once the rope tightens up and he's riding the speeder bike and he gets nailed with that rope and starts flipping around, Baby Yoda is just being drugged through the dirt and he's doing flips in the air. But he was able to like rocket blast himself into landing on his feet. How awesome was that?
Yeah, when he pulls off the landing, that is incredible. And then he's able to trick the guy to using the jetpack to get Baby Yoda back when he's holding him, like, captive. So that was just a whole great sequence.
That was clever.
It was a fantastic sequence. And then it Tesla rocketed its way right back to him.
Of course.
Yep.
My only note that I had for that scene, because I did like it. I love speeder bikes. That's kind of my thing, especially watching them explode and blow up and stuff, because I did that a lot as a kid with my toys. Was that I didn't understand why Baby Yoda didn't use the force to like get out of the situation. He just kind of like sat there in the arms with a knife next to him, like, I guess I'm gonna die.
So, and that's another thing that I'm noticing too from the last two episodes. There's been many times where Baby Yoda could have used the force to get out of situations, and it's almost like, okay, we know that Baby Yoda can use the force in the first season, but they don't want to rely on the force through every situation, because Baby Yoda literally could have gotten them out of every situation so far by using the force.
But the one thing I have noticed last season about Baby Yoda is Baby Yoda will use the force under duress. So if there's a stressful situation or something that's bothering him, he will use it. You would think a knife to the throat would bother you.
The knife around his neck.
You would think.
This doesn't seem so bad.
It's the problem with the Star Wars universe. The force is out there. And so you're, look how cool Mandalorians are. They got their jetpacks and their blasters and all their cool little like rope tools and flame stuff. It's not the force, and it's not lightsabers. Sorry.
Exactly. I know.
Dude, Mandalorians are straight up just a guild of Batmans.
Yes.
But here's a question then for you before we get too deep
Batman
into the episode is, would you rather not have the force at all in this series? Do you think it was kind of a blight to what
I think
you're
it works
to see?
Because of Baby Yoda.
I think it's a crutch to Star Wars fans, but I think it hampers, because really they're like, we want this Wild West storyline, you know, it calls back to the old samurai stories, all this kind of stuff. And we have this lone gunman type guy, but now he's not a lone gunman. He's aided by somebody who can control, manipulate
everything
objects with his mind.
it kind of takes the wind out of the Mandalorian sails, really. That's just me. I think it would have been better if the child wasn't a Force user, Force sensitive. And they, well, yeah, maybe we didn't discover it until the end of the series or something, or I don't know.
Just I think weight on him being Force sensitive would have been better. Like, everyone's like, oh, look, he's adorable. He's still just as adorable whether he can use the Force or not. People love him because he's adorable.
It'd be that whole, like, does he or doesn't he thing for many seasons. It would be kind of fun. But that's all right. It's the way it is.
You see, like, a little rock move when he thinks about it. You know, it, like, hints at it.
Sure.
No, yeah, he picks up a big rhino thing on the second episode of the whole series.
Right?
Like, okay. Straight in its tracks.
But also, in that opening sequence, the one caveat is that he literally has a mask that can show things. Like, his mask has all kinds of scanners on it. You're telling me he couldn't see that there's something up ahead where all the dirt has been moved, or there's a potential rope, or nothing. There's heat signatures behind the rocks, none of that stuff. Which he uses later in the cavern to track down the lizard chick. It's not like his mask is, like, I saw it, I was like, okay, maybe his mask isn't capable of that. And then they use it in the same episode. And then they
literally use it! Wow, I didn't even think about that. Jeez. Oh, that hurts me.
Selective plot holes.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on from that scene.
So at this point, he meets up with Amy Sedaris again, right?
Yeah.
Can't I don't even know what her character's name is. I don't either.
Oh, God.
It's like, oh, it's Amy.
Yeah. Okay,
I don't know.
I know what her name is, but it's slipping my mind right now. But it doesn't matter. We all know her as Amy Sedaris, so we'll stick with that.
Okay, so we go back to her for some reason.
So they can have that ant guy.
Of course.
Oh, that's right. By the way, is there literally one cantina in this entire planet? Why do we have to keep going back to the same cantina?
It's the classic cantina. It's the one that we meet Luke at. So they destroyed all the other ones. They went back after the Empire falls down and they celebrate Return of the Jedi. They destroy everything that isn't Luke Skywalker base. They have like a historical landmark up front.
Yep. You don't remember that?
I'm so sick of like stuff like that. Like, you don't need to go back. I was looking around in the background thinking, okay, I bet we'll be able to see like Han's blaster hole or something or.
Oh, sure. I'm sure there's there. I'm sure it's there. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's kind of the problem I'm having with this, is I was really hoping it was going to expand the universe, and it doesn't really. Like, it kind of maybe did a little bit by going to a new planet this episode, I guess. But it's we don't know anything about this planet. Right, nothing at all. They don't tell us about its history. No, but here's the thing.
That planet might as well have been called Hoth.
Yeah, it might as well have. Because he flies off it, but we're never going to see it again.
Do Hoth miss. Sorry.
That's why people should watch Rebels, if you want to talk about expanding the Star Wars universe.
Well, maybe Filoni will in episode 5, but I doubt it. Yeah. We'll still see. I don't know.
But I did like the ant guy. It was good practical effects on the ant guy.
Yeah, oh, I like it when they do the practical effects. It's great.
They could have done a CGI ant guy like they did in episode 1 with all that terrible prequel CGI for no reason.
Right?
So, funny thing about this episode was that it was directed by the same guy who directed Ant-Man.
Yep.
Do you think that, like, Favreau and Filoni were like, hey, check out this character we're going to use in your episode. Yeah, use this guy somewhere in there.
Unless it was his idea. Who knows?
God, is he that obsessed with ants?
Maybe. Yes. Maybe.
Wow.
Maybe.
One word answers. I love them.
Yeah. It's a one-word kind of show.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is a one-word kind of show, because you're wasting Amy's character, too, because now she's just like an exposition person. Like, you could have literally had
Let me explain everything to you. Yeah, have a crawl in the beginning of each episode. Quest. Right?
She is. She gives
side quests. Oh, she's quest. The side quest person. Oh, that's what she is. You go to her and she gives you your next side quest. No, oh, she's like the quest board in D&D. It's great. I like it.
Speaking of video game, I mean, that's my overall take. This episode was a video game.
Mm.
This could have been a Star Wars video game where you get to shoot little spiders and do stupid stuff. And no, that's how this felt.
And we're not even to the spiders yet.
I know.
So anyways, let's move on. Amy Sedaris gives him a mission. And what is this mission?
Gecko passenger.
That she swears on her life that she vouches for this person. That she just
they got to make fun. That's two episodes in a row we got stupid languages.
Yep.
Oh, it was, that was so bad, man. That was so hard to watch that scene.
You think? Can you imagine having to act that scene?
Yeah, but it's Amy Sedaris. She doesn't care.
She's not, but still.
So anyway, so the whole point of the episode is to get this lizard woman to another planet to meet up with her husband to fertilize her eggs that she's carrying around in a backpack. Mm-hmm. In this cool, glowy-looking backpack. It's pretty... That's actually kind of cool-looking.
It's a cool backpack.
As any good side quest, the eggs do die at hyperspace, so you have challenges with your side quest. You never can just play it straight.
Of course not. Right. Don't go too fast. Or you'll spoil your hatch. That's for sure. It was that design was cool. I will say one thing about this episode that I do like is the way everything was kind of designed, if that makes sense. I do like that container. I did like the way Mando looked with his armor in the snow, like that whole, the way it looked with the snow on him and everything. I love speeder bikes, of course, the bugs in the bar. So, or the canteen, I should say. So yeah, I will give it credit to that. I do like the design of a lot of stuff in this episode. I just wish that, once again, that spider would have been designed better based on the concept art.
We haven't gotten to the spider.
I know, but yeah. I just have to keep mentioning it.
We're only talking about the language disparity. Because the one thing they never answered, can the gecko lady understand Mando? Like, I understand Mando specifically says, I can't understand what you're saying. Like, usually we have C-3PO. True. But
right.
She seems to have some kind of basic understanding of English.
Even she though does. Amy Sedaris speaks in her language.
Right, to her.
To her.
Right.
It's so weird.
So that whole thing was bizarre as well. But then Baby Yoda also finds the eggs in the backpack down below, which I don't know why the gecko lady kept her eggs down below. Not even locked up, because they're bouncing around. They were just sitting there, bouncing around all over the place whenever he would take a turn or anything like that.
I was wondering, as soon as I saw that on the floor, I said, I bet that was put there because it would look cool in the frame, in the shot. That's literally where my mind went. And it did. But I'm like, but it's not strapped down and it's not near her.
Right.
What is up with that? That was so
weird.
She
would hold him in her lap the whole time until they arrived.
I would.
It's the last of her species.
It's the last of her species. Like leave it below deck. Who cares? Let the baby eat. So I don't care.
Strap it in. T-shirts that might get lost on some trip.
Right? Who cares? I'll buy a new one when I get to the new planet. Don't worry about it.
Oh. Now, I know that this was a whole side quest thing, but do you think that this gecko lady is going to play a bigger role down the road? Like,
I think so.
You don't think that her husband is going to be someone important of any kind?
I think
he might introduce a new side quest.
No, I think the only reason why she was put in this episode was to tell us about the whole Mandalorian creed. Like, aren't you supposed to do this for honor? That whole speech that she gave him through the robot. That's the only reason why she was in this
Dude,
episode. You could have had a better episode.
Just said that rather than have a 33-minute episode of that.
Or you could have had a great episode where that was used as a point that was made, if that makes sense. Like, Firefly did that a lot on that show. If you ever watch Firefly, they do a lot of that kind of stuff. Like, let me demonstrate the loyalty of the captain or something, but you have this entire episode that demonstrates it rather than just some character telling you this. Like, you know, I don't know. It was too on the nose, and it kind of seemed like it was not worth the episode
heavy
to do that.
Heavy-handed themology instead of subtle themology.
Exactly. Well, or show, don't tell.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back to the ship then, where the eggs are just sitting there, and Baby Yoda walks up to...
Got my balls in my mouth.
It was a Mr. Bucket.
It was. He was popping those balls like there, nobody's business, man.
So these glowing eggs. So I was listening to another podcast about the episode just to kind of give like a refresher today.
Mm-hmm.
And they had mentioned that could Baby Yoda not be eating them and actually doing
gestating
something
them?
Helpful by putting them in his mouth and swallowing them.
No,
that's a possibility, but I don't think so. Yeah, I do not think so. I think he's eating them, just like he ate the frogs before. He's eating frogs. That's what he does. Well, he eats frogs. Yeah, that's his food.
The reptiles.
Yeah, he was eating them. It was a joke. That's why they put it in there. It was funny and cute. Well, gave Baby Yoda something to do. Yeah.
I think I liked the like theories that were out there of like,
sure,
like, oh, is it's he, trying like, to give hope to
who's writing the show rather than talking about who's writing the show.
There you go.
You can always think that people are better than they are, but they rarely are. That's a whole different theme of...
Oh, Mando. Yeah. No, I agree with you there. Okay, so he ate some of the balls. Well, the whole egg-eating
thing. I mean, mm-hmm. could they have made Baby Yoda more of a prick? Like, they set up the eggs to be as, like, valuable as possible, and they're like, you know what? You know how everyone loves Baby Yoda? What if we made him so he's just, like, not redeemable in any sense? And they're like, here, we got an idea.
Here's the thing, too, that I feel like everybody forgets. Baby Yoda's 50 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's older than Mandalorian.
But he's also a toddler.
Right.
This was a whole Baby Yoda being a toddler episode. This was, like, Rugrats Baby Yoda edition.
Well, it was it was full-on parenting episode. I mean... where Mando has to be the dad. Mando is having to protect, you know, someone else's kids at the same time as protect his kid. He's Mr. Mom.
And he did a terrible job.
Yeah, well...
He didn't protect the eggs, he didn't protect Baby Yoda, and he didn't protect the gecko lady. He, like, did everything bad, so... Maybe Baby Yoda should get adopted by somebody else.
Maybe find somebody else. Go back to Amy. Maybe she'll take care of you better. Who knows? She has those droids with her. She should be fine. She seems to be able to take care of herself pretty well.
Well, yeah, speaking of, I'm going to jump backwards real quick. The scene with Amy Sedaris and they're cooking up the meat. You guys went to
yeah, the dragon meat. It was like the rotisserie at Galaxy's Edge.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, uh-huh. I thought that was kind of a cool call to Galaxy's Edge right there.
Galaxy's Edge.
Theme parks. I miss theme parks, period.
Yep.
Yep. Okay, so X-Wing fighters show up. What?
This was Cameo funny. 1 and Cameo 2 show up.
Yes, that's exactly what this was.
So, please explain what happened.
So,
here.
I've never seen Kim's Convenience, but I guess he's the dad of the grandpa in Kim's Convenience, the one guy.
Yeah, I've never seen it either, but yes.
And then the other guy's Dave Filoni because he was obviously an X-Wing in episode 5 last season or episode 6, and they're like, let's do that again. That was about it. The reason to pull him over, it was essentially. Oh, there's New Republic jurisdiction, and it's like somebody, like a cop pulling you over because your taillight's broken. That's essentially what it was. Pretty lame. And then they chase him
like
down over that.
It felt like a Saturday Night Live skit is what it felt like. It felt like Saturday Night Live. It was weird.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was super awkward. But it did leave to the really good ship conflict. Him actually flying through the clouds and putting on, you know, turning off his engines and falling and...
Yeah,
that whole sequence
maneuver.
Before he crashes. That's really good sequence through the caverns.
Until he crashes. It was nice. Yes. That was pretty good. I enjoyed that. So, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
And then they crash.
Yeah.
And what do they find?
Well, okay, so...
A spa.
What?
They found a spa. They found a spa there.
Okay, so they crash. And then he's got to repair the ship. And then she... goes and finds this.
They crash twice too.
Oh yeah,
he crashes once and then the ice breaks and the Razor Crest snapped in half. That thing's never flying again. It was pretty much done on that planet. The rest of the entire show might be a dream sequence where Mando died on that planet, but regardless.
I like that a lot better than it actually happening. Yes.
Oh God!
Oh,
no,
boy.
You don't. No, you don't.
No,
you don't, Prague.
Well, I guess they finally broke the ice, so that was good.
Oh,
there he is. So when they were going through the hot springs, were you guys expecting? I mean, the way this show has been so far, were you kind of expecting that a bottomless snowman? God, I can't even talk.
Yes, Wampa. I was.
the Wampa. Were you expecting the Wampa to show up in this cave?
Honestly, I really was. Or I something was too. Like, I was like,
are they really going to do this right now? Are they going to bring a Wampa in here right now?
Yeah.
Or even like a Tauntaun runs by or something.
Right.
I am so sorry. I just remembered something that truly bothered me about this X-Wing part.
Ooh, please tell.
Right when Mando is like, hey, sorry, none of this stuff is working or whatever. They're like, okay, well, no worries. Before they ask him to start checking all this other stuff, he goes, may the Force be with you.
Right.
This is a guy who last season goes, do that hand thingy.
No, Apollo Creed does that.
Yeah.
Oh, Apollo Creed?
Yeah, well.
Rocky.
Good old Carl. Okay, anyways.
Carl Weathers. But no, but he, I mean, Mandalorian, he, in the first season, he didn't know what the Force was. He didn't know what the hand thingy was.
Oh, it's just a stupid thing that people say now that the Empire's been defeated. It just goes around like, yeah.
Right, but the Force is moving shit with, or move stuff. Oh, yeah, man.
But
sorry.
Then they did the whole.
moving but stuff they, with your mind.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. I was going to talk about Catholics, but we'll move on. Anyways.
What? Yeah, that's probably not a. What?
No, I was not a bad thing. I was just not a bad thing. I'm just saying.
Oh, like God bless you?
No, he says, may the Force be with you. And they said, and also with you, which is a Catholic saying.
Okay.
And it was famous for years because, you know, people would hear that and would assume that. And they actually did it in the show, which was kind of weird. That's all.
No, yeah.
It took me out.
It took me out, too. Actually, it took me out right once he said, may the Force be with you. So.
It took me out once it was Dave Filoni.
Yeah, once they break that fourth wall, all right, okay.
It's fun to do it once. Just stop. But
and then it crashes. Back on the ice planet. I mean, they crash. Is what I meant to say.
The Baby Yoda burp was not funny nor cute. I just put annoying.
Oh, that's right. He did burp or something. So yeah.
I also
after like the fifth one
that
he ate or something.
I texted you guys during this episode because. I don't know why. So first season, Baby Yoda sounded like a baby.
Mm-hmm. All the
this
time.
Season, he sounds like a droid.
It depends. It depends on the distance from the camera. It's really weird. Because once you said that, I watched it. And when he's close, he's making toddler noises. But when he's far, he makes droid noises. I have no idea why that is.
I don't know why that is either, but I noticed it too. When you said that, I'm like, I thought there was a droid in that scene. And I kept looking around that scene, looking for a droid. I'm like, is that supposed to be Baby Yoda making those sounds? Because if so, there's some bad sound mixing going on. So whoever it mixed the sound that episode screwed up. Because I don't think they
sounded
terrible.
They're playing
like
BB-8 sound. It's like Baby Yoda button, BB-8 Yoda.
It was bizarre. But yeah. I noticed it too.
Yeah,
oh God.
That took me out of it as well. Because I actually really like the baby sounds. Because with my baby, every time she makes a little... goo goo gaga noise, I'm like, oh god, it just melts my heart. But my baby's not making beep bonk beep bonk beep beep beep.
No, okay.
She's not making droid noises. So anyways. Okay, so where do we go for Baby Yoda starts walking around the cave while Mando goes up to Lizard Lady and tries to collect her eggs in the spa.
Well, before that, I just wanted to mention I wrote little toolbox ain't fixing anything. Like, literally, his ship is broken in half, and he brings out, like, a regular handy-dandy toolbox.
Well, you don't think he can fix his whole ship with that little thing? Come on!
Don't worry, I've got a Phillips head screwdriver.
He's like, wait a second, this is for my glasses. Shoot! Go back in the ship. Hold on.
Well, what he needs is that Rocket Raccoon gun that just repairs things whenever you spray it with goo or whatever it is.
Perfect. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's coming up on a future episode.
Let's go back to the alien reference.
Yeah. We need alien eggs for no reason.
Oh, dude. You know. Oh, jeez.
I wanted one to just a facehugger to jump onto Baby Yoda and create this awesome Yoda xenomorph thing. That would be.
Ooh, that would be really cool. Can you imagine? It's all clicking around in space.
Yeah, that whole thing. Yeah, the whole thing was just giving alien vibes. The whole thing.
Yep.
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 So, it was cute walking in the snow, though. I will give Baby Yoda credit. Walking in the snow is adorable.
Yep. Yeah. It's a little... He's cute. What he can be. But yeah, and then he eats, what, two? One or two?
I think he only eats one, and then they start open, and he's like, oh no, I'm scared. And then there's always bigger and bigger, and then the big Mac Daddy comes out.
Yep. We discussed that last time. Always a bigger fish.
Always bigger fish. And again, Harry Potter did this already.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that they didn't go with a Wampa. I'm glad that they went with these.
I would have preferred a Wampa, because these things were terribly designed. It was so heavy CGI and just...
The whole sequence, that was the moment I tuned out of the show completely. Like, I just went, oh, I'm on my phone now, this is bad.
Practical effects. And then it became CGI when it was running away from the spiders, because they had to fight with all the other CGI spiders.
It was terrible. Yeah.
I guess I didn't mind it too much. I really, the one thing that I did like is that the lizard lady, when she decided to run on all fours, I was like, well, that's pretty cool. You should have been running like that the whole time. And then she stops to go run on her hind legs again, just to jump back into running on all fours.
And she gets to grab her clothes with her tongue for no reason.
Tongue. Yeah.
Yeah.
Reminded me of Slippy Toad from Star Fox.
Slippy Toad.
Dude, that whole character reminded me of Slippy Toad the whole time.
Oh, and I'm being told they're not spiders. They're head crabs.
Yes, they are. That's what they are. If you look, they were head crab. They went on top of the head, and they were crabs. They were trying to get his brain. Very true.
From Metroid?
Jesus. No. Similar idea, sure. Okay. But no. But yes, head crabs. We'll call them head crabs.
Then we do get the great use of Mando tools. He's pretty much grasping at straws. He gets to use his little grenades. He gets to use the flamethrower. He's just using pistols that, like, there's 5,000 of them, and I'm going to shoot
Swiss
three.
Army man. I like it.
Dude, he should have used his flamethrower from the get-go.
Yeah, why not just spray them and get out of there? Just here. Bye.
Well, he used it so many times in season one, and now he's, like, waiting until he gets onto the ship to use it? Come on.
He only has a little bit of lighter fuel.
Right. That he didn't want to blow his load.
Yeah.
You know? He's got to get back to the ship, get his Zippo to refill.
I like that.
God, so dumb. I'm sorry.
Well, then he caught one to crush it. That was a pretty good sequence.
Yeah? Caught one to crush
it? Well, at the end of the day, this was heavy CG and whatnot, but it was still a fun episode. I know that we're just picking it apart real hard
now. We get to the video game sequence where all of them are crawling through the ship and you're like, shoot them. And it's like any video game you played, some Resident Evil or I don't know. I don't play stupid games like that. But if I did, it's the same idea.
It really is. It kind of had that same feel. I'm like, I could just be playing this as a video game instead. CGI heavy kind of whatever. But and then they had the Deus Ex Machina, but before that.
Which one?
Yeah. Oh, no, continue.
We're not there yet.
No.
Yeah. When Baby Yoda's scared, it's heartbreaking, though.
Of course.
When they're closing in, that was like, it almost redeemed what a prick he was the whole episode, but I still say almost because he was unnecessarily a prick.
Yeah.
Well, he never stopped being a prick that whole episode because he kept it all the way up into the credits.
Mm-hmm.
He's popping those eggs down.
Yeah, he pops. That's how the scene is, or that's how the episode ends. He pops one last one, so people at home will be, it's just Baby Yoda being Baby Yoda.
All the reactors on YouTube can be like,
making that whole lizard lady extinct.
Yeah, their whole species extinct because he's cute.
Now, what if lizard lady, what if her her husband is Jar Jar Binks? Dave Filoni loves the prequels. Misa fertilized eggs!
That would make this episode redeemable. I would crack up.
They are, aren't they like a whole race of frog people or something?
Gungans like aren't really frog people.
Spits every time he talks.
No.
Not really. I guess they share some frog DNA.
I'm sure they're amphibian in some way. But
just like maybe the dinosaurs at Jurassic Park.
Yeah. Dino DNA.
Dino DNA. Actually, it's funny. While I had the Mandalorian on just now, I was cooking dinner while I had it on. My wife, she walks through the room and she goes, "Oh, what are you watching? Jurassic Park?" Because all she did was just, she was like listening and she could hear like the spider monsters screaming and lasers shooting. And I'm like, "So the lasers didn't throw you off the trail that this was not Jurassic Park?"
That's Jurassic World.
Right. That's Jurassic Park in space.
In space. So anyways, so they Mandalorian, it's pretty much donezo. They are gonna get eaten by spiders. They got a gigantic spider on top of the ship. It is over for this guy and the frog lady and Baby Yoda. But comes to the rescue, fellas?
There's some laser fire. What is that? Oh, look, the X-Wing pilots from earlier, and they don't use the blasters on their X-Wings. They keep their own blasters in the cockpit. Did you know that X-Wings had blasters in the cockpit that they... I never knew pilots did that. I didn't see any use if I fight in space that I have a blaster in my cockpit.
You never know, you might need to use one. So
you never know, you land on a frozen planet and there's big spiders.
There you go. Especially the giant spider. That giant spider went down with their pistols pretty quick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's funny how that works.
That giant spider was only there so it could knock down the ship once he tries to take off. That's why, because it was already blown. Like, they showed the heads, like, separated, but whatever.
Maybe it was another one. Who knows?
That's what I thought. I thought that it was an even bigger one. Like, the second one was an even bigger one.
When he puts his mouth on the glass, and you know, you see all the teeth and stuff. I've seen that before, and I can't place it.
You saw that in Pirates of the Caribbean.
It's in Pirates of the Caribbean?
You saw it in,
that's the
in
Kraken.
Empire Strikes Back. Unless you're talking about the specific teeth. I don't remember if
I was talking about the specific teeth kind of thing, or it's a suction thing, because it's almost like a rival, but if a rival was focused in like a horror movie.
I'm thinking of Pirates of the Caribbean. The Kraken is taking over the ship. And then what's his face? Johnny Depp is standing there with his sword and he runs towards the teeth and jumps into the mouth of the Kraken.
No, I was thinking more of it against the glass and it can't get in. So you get to see its whole like 360 degrees of teeth.
Oh, I thought there you meant just what that
there was a scene also in The Force Awakens where those ball monsters did that.
That's what it is. It's in Force Awakens before he jumps to hyperspace.
Yep, he blows it up by going
That the worst part of Force Awakens with that stupid CGI monster for no reason. They're horrible like, let's take that and include it in Mandalorian. They're doing a great job this season.
Yeah, that whole scene is terrible. Anyways.
For a show that we really enjoy, this man, is a great can we show. Pick it apart?
I don't know. I enjoyed it. I don't know if I really enjoy this season, but I'm having with it.
I personally expect there to be something bigger with the gecko lady. There has to be. There's no reason
to introduce
this. Maybe
it will pay off later.
This.
Like the way the X-Wing pilots let him get off by literally his good deeds in season one. Oh, you got rid of these three convicts, and so we're going to let you off with a warning this time.
Maybe.
Come on.
Yep.
Come on, show.
But then they leave them. They leave them there to die. They're pretty much like, you can.
Well, they figured that Mando, he can fix the entire broken ship and pressurize the cockpit with a soldering iron because that's all you need. We've seen Empire Strikes Back, Han and Chewie. That's all they do, and it fixes the whole Falcon. The entire cave is collapsing on it. Fixed.
Star Wars. We're talking Star Wars.
So we've talked more than the episode length. So is there any final thoughts you guys have?
Nope.
What happened after? Oh, yeah, they did get off the planet. And
they get
Baby
off the
Yoda
planet.
Eats the.
Yeah, he eats the egg. He says goodnight. Go to sleep. I'm sleeping. Sweet dreams. Don't talk to me again.
See you next Friday, folks.
Boop.
And then it goes into it, and then he pops it.
Yep. See you next week.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. That's all, folks.
Thinking cartoons now.
It's kind of what, yeah.
Like, I enjoyed it for 33 minutes. I know everything that I've said for the past 39 minutes are not indicative of that, but I enjoyed it. It's just, I expect more. That's the problem. Mandalorian is set a high bar. And so if you come in as a medium bar or a low bar or any type of bar that's below that, it's going to look bad in comparison. And they've set their own pedigree. It's not me setting that pedigree. They made a great season one.
Touche.
They did. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah,
sorry.
If they can just get away from the Monster of the Week and side quests and get to an actual story, give me an actual storyline. There's nothing.
Let's get to Mandalore and meet Sabine and find out why you're part of a cult and you don't know really anything about what it means to be a Mandalorian. Let's find Ahsoka and see where Ezra's went to and transported to back at the end of Rebels. Let's get into the, where's Baby Yoda from? Is there a whole Yoda species? Is it actually just the offspring of Yoda and Yaddle? I don't know. Let's find out.
Man. See, these are the questions we want answered, people. Like, having a fun space western is really fun and all, but give me some kind of story.
I don't remember the westerns where big spiders and dragons show up, though. So I don't even know what they're doing now.
I don't know.
They're off the
deep
end.
They're throwing everything at it.
Yeah. Well.
Stay tuned next week as we talk about episode 3.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Until we rip that one apart.
Be sure
hopefully
to watch.
We enjoy it. I really do.
I really want to start enjoying these episodes.
Yeah. We'll see.
I'm enjoying them. Like I said last week, I feel like I'm more critical about everything that I watch now because of you guys. I used to be able to just sit down and watch pretty colors on the TV screen, and now I look at everything differently because I talk to you guys on a weekly basis.
It just means you appreciate stuff. You just appreciate things deeper. Yeah, watch Dark, watch shows, and you can be like, oh, now I can really appreciate this other show. Yeah.
No,
I can see the merits of its craft.
I want to rewatch How I Met Your Mother for the fourth time.
That's for secondary shorts. We're talking Mando. Be sure to stay tuned next week. Follow at Secondary Heroes for fun updates throughout the week. To everyone listening, we hope you enjoyed, and we'll talk to you next time.
May the Force be with you.
Always.
And with you, Frog.